Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Walk away, which is usually the advice we get when we're trying not to brain someone who's driving us up the wall. But scientific research says it's also the best way to free up your creative thinking. So with me now is neuroscientist Brian Penny, who is going to explain how moving your body can free your mind. Brian, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Lottie.
Anything that involves freeing the mind sounds good to me. So let's dive right in. There's two different types of creative thinking in this research. So first off, what are they? And which one benefits most from getting up off your bottom?
So the two different forms. One of them is divergent thinking and the other one is convergent thinking. And they are what the words kind of say. Like think of converge, closing in. So that's like crossword puzzles. It's like logic-based thinking, looking for the solution to a problem. It's a closing in, a convergence. Whereas divergent thinking is like diverse. It's like drawing associations between diverse and unrelated things. So whereas, let's say, convergent is like crossword puzzles or flat packs. A flat pack shed I was trying to do last week. We won't go into the details of that.
Okay. A jigsaw.
That kind of a thing, yeah. Where you're looking, it's more logic based and you're looking for solutions that are there. Divergence will be like pulling ideas together, unrelated ideas. So the great example is Isaac Newton. The apple fell on his head. Gravitational theory, they didn't seem related. All of a sudden, boom, creative thinking. He put them together and that was the creative thinking.
So stopping and pausing if you're working to take a break and do something like a jigsaw might not be benefiting your work mode as much as...
if you're trying to think outside of the box, per se. Yeah, that's what it is. And whereas stopping and pausing may be beneficial for both, exercise is just really powerful. Our movement, moving the body is really powerful for divergent thinking. And the research shows this, that it's the most reliably enhanced element of thinking is by moving your body. And I don't know whether you've ever experienced that yourself, but like I love to do a gym class, and especially on a Saturday and a Sunday. Every time I'm doing my spin class on a Saturday or Sunday morning, I just find ideas pop into my head. It's just the ideas just land in there. So it's the physical activity kind of just dumps ideas into your head, but only with divergent thinking. It doesn't help you to solve crossword puzzles.
So, see, the thing about this is, say I would have been a huge gym head, or I would love spinning classes. I loved going to the gym. I loved going to dance classes. Once I had a baby, the time to do these things disappeared from me. And I found, okay, my forms of getting exercise is simple things like maybe a quick walk with the dog, or, you know, it could be on a bad day, walking up and down the stairs in the office a million times. So the good thing about this news is that's actually really beneficial.
Yeah, it's super, super beneficial. So the research shows that even brief bouts of exercise, like having a little dance in your kitchen, walking up and down the stairs, walking the dog, are really powerful for boosting divergent creative thinking. And there was one study, a very recent study, it was a randomized control trial, which is the best studies you can get when it comes to science, showed that walking up and down the stairs four times, so up four flights of stairs and down four flights of stairs, significantly increased divergent thinking when compared to convergent thinking. So again, it won't help you to solve a cross puzzle or really to get those finicky logic-based thinking, but it opens up your mind to thinking outside of the box. There's lots of different ways around this. So when you look at the brain science around this, one of the biggest elements is, so if you think of, let's say you are feeling emotionally or mentally drained, mental health issues, let's say, and you're feeling a little bit anxious, you're worrying about the future, you're thinking about yesterday and you're caught up in your head. Mm-hmm. Well, there's not going to be much creative thinking around that as well. So I won't go into the depths. Like, I am obsessed with exercise and thinking and good health and stuff like that, and I really chase down this neural pathway. It's called the Kinurinian pathway. I won't go into the depths of the details. But basically, a result of this pathway from physical exercise shows it increases serotonin, it decreases the amount of neurotoxins within your brain, and increases the amount of neuroprotective factors within the brain. So it's a really powerful, powerful mechanism that increases good mental and emotional health. So therefore, decreasing being up in your head all of the time. So that is a really powerful element of it. Now, there's another part of this as well. Like, if you, people often say that, let's say, exercise is good for depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And whereas there's elements of truth in that, when you look at the evolutionary science, it's more that a lack of exercise can cause depression and anxiety. We were born to forage, hunt, move. That's our evolutionary background. Like scooters, going around in scooters only last 10 years. Going around in cars is even the last couple of, 70, 80 to 100 years. We evolved to move, hunt and forage and walk. I think our ancestors walked for 20 to 30,000 steps a day. Yet today there's lifts, there's cars. So it's a sedentary lifestyle sort of has a big impact on our bodies in terms of freeing our minds to be able to think creatively. And it's just an element of that. But there's multiple other factors as well.
But I mean, like, does it plateau then? So say you're really fit.
Yeah.
And you're running and you get lots of exercise all the time. Would it have the same effect on you as if you start moving, you know?
Yeah, so it does depend on your level of fitness. But here's the really, really good news. It's because it's not about intensity. Whereas intense exercise is great physiologically, it's brilliant. From an emotional and mental health perspective, it's brilliant as well. And that's where that kynurenine pathway comes in. But if you're looking for that divergent, creative thinking, you don't want to get into the intense level because that's more of a meditative zone. You want to be just a light amount of exercise, maybe doing squats in your kitchen, maybe if you're in your office, just doing a few jump jacks, going for a walk, going up and down a couple of flights of stairs. That sort of activates that creative thinking element as well.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, because when I'm doing something intense, whether it be in the gym or a dance class, the thing that I love about it is I can't focus on anything else.
Yeah.
And I've no choice but to be immersed in what I'm doing. So yeah. I'm not creatively thinking then.
Yeah, it would nearly be the stretching.
Zoning out.
The stretching beforehand, maybe the ideas will drop.
Yes, absolutely. So there's also other good news in this study for Irish people anyway, considering it's been raining for, Jesus, I don't know how many months now at this stage. The science shows it is specifically the movement. So it's not necessarily the environment that you're in. So it doesn't matter if it is, like we're saying, in your apartment or in your office space, like you don't have to, because a lot of people, and I do think sometimes when people are caught up in their heads, it's hard to get out and about sometimes. People might feel they don't have it in them to make the effort.
Yeah. Definitely. And that's why it's great when you look at this research, because it can be a bit disheartening. You look at research and it says you have to run for like 2 hours every day or 90 minutes every day. Whereas this research, and a great thing about this research as well, like science likes to have controlled experiments. So it doesn't like to bring in these confounding factors, like other variables that could play a role as well. So if you went outside for a run, is nature making the difference? Is the people that you meet on the street making the difference? So all of this research has been done indoors in a controlled environment, just like your house, just like your office. So just a little bit of exercise indoors, even when it's raining, can be really beneficial for this creative thinking process.
And does it matter how many times you do it, how long it's for?
Yeah, the research shows brief bursts, like again, brief bursts. And if you're looking, like if you're purposefully looking for that creative thinking, like it's only like a couple of minutes walking up those few flights of stairs and back down again. I often find with me, and it's really interesting, like whereas exercise is really important for this, it's just one mechanism of action. Like I mentioned there about the spin class, but it's usually at the very start, the first couple of minutes when I'm sort of just warming up, or else when I'm driving my car. Like, so whereas exercise is a mechanism of action, it's about putting you into that state of mind. So I often find driving my car is another very specific area where that divergent thinking happens, the things just drop. And when I'm on a spin bike, I often, I'll have my phone or I'll have a notepad with me because I tend to get ideas then. Yeah, usually my phone, unless I'm purposefully going for that. And with my car, I find my car, so the mechanism of action's the same. I don't know what the link exactly is there. I think it's that effect of just zoning out a little bit where you're concentrated, but not overly concentrated. Yes. And obviously you can't take notes in the car. So I actually have a dictaphone in my car and I often just take little notes on the dictaphone, yeah.
So it's good then maybe to take note of where the ideas are dropping so as you can have, you know, something present to record the idea so as you're not going to forget about it. So you could use, or could you use this for something in particular, like be focused with it? If you were writing a book, for example, will it make you a better writer if you move? So channeling that into one given purpose.
Definitely. And I think there's multiple factors here that could really work for you. So, do you ever hear of the Pomodoro technique?
No.
So the Pomodoro technique, it's based on psychological science. Like, we only really have attention spans for about 20 to 25 minutes.
Okay.
And I heard this in it. 2-hour psychology class, which was quite interesting.
You too?
Yeah, I must have gotten it in the first 25 minutes. Yeah, it didn't make sense at all. And what that is, so our attention can only hold for around that amount of time before there's a huge drop off in that.
Okay.
So I remember when I was writing my book or anytime I'm doing really intense work, I will go for 20 to 25 minutes. And I remember while I was writing the book specifically, I'd done that and I just do a little bit of a 5-7 minute workout back into the book. And there was a really incredible thing here because I didn't know about the divergent thinking processes at the time.
You were just subconsciously.
Subconsciously doing it. But what I found was I would find the concentration dropped off and you would want to avoid and escape that mental friction.
Mm.
So you're nearly looking forward to escaping that. And although you're not probably looking forward to the workout, it seems better than the mental friction. But then you get into the workout and it gets those creative juices flowing and then you're looking forward to jumping back into the creative process. So I found it really, really interesting. And it was only when I was looking at this research, I was like, that's all making
sense.
That's
what was going on.
Yeah, more
that's
divergent thinking there, actually, ironically.
There's obviously loads to it and more to learn, but how could we take what we know now and use it in schools or offices across the country?
Yeah, this is the great challenge, especially with schools as well. Like it's obviously really simply speaking, like getting kids out into the yard, getting them to play games. But even for teachers, like imagine teachers are in the class and the kids are sort of feeling a bit lethargic or you just wanted to really boost that sort of creating thinking process. Like do a little bit of a loop around the school, go up the stairs, back down the stairs, bring them into the class, get that movement. I often find movement just changes how we think and changes how we feel, which is intrinsically linked. And there's other factors as well, like the brain science around it is really, really fascinating. Like if you want to get smarter at a biological level, one of the most important things you can do is exercise, because it releases these things called brain-derived neurotropic factors. They're growth factors that increase the structural growth of the learning processes within your brain. So it will make kids smarter, it will make kids more creative, and you don't have to go super intense as well. So it seems like a win-win-win, you know?
Yeah, I always remember in school, you know, so say your classes were broken into 40 minutes and you could do 3 classes back to back before you get a break. And I always, by the third class, you're gone. You're
gone.
Spent and you're trying not to fall asleep. And I always thought, why is it 3? Like, why can't we get a breather, even for 10 minutes, go to the bathroom, get some water, walk around, and you'd take so much more in then.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's even like it might seem silly. Sometimes our norms are norms because everyone does it, but they're not good things. Like let's say off the top of my head, do 10 jump jacks after a class. Like if you had a teacher doing that,
yeah,
move the body, get the body moving, and do it in the office as well. Now I was lucky enough when I was writing the book, I had my own office space. So if you're in an open plan office and you start doing 20 jump jacks, people might look at you a little bit strange. So we need to change the narrative for everybody. So it's
absolutely
okay. New norms. We need new norms
new
around
norms.
This stuff.
I think this is probably one of the few offices where if I got up and did 10 jumping jacks upstairs, people just would not question me.
I love that.
I love it too. I really do. Anyway, so there you have it. Get up, walk around a bit. You're halfway to solving all your problems. Dr. Brian Penny, thank you so much for coming in. It's always a pleasure.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.